Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about the Capitol shooting. Okay, so I'm not even going to bother reading an article this morning, as we already know what's happened in D.C. And frankly, I'm not too concerned to go over the exact details of the events that happened in D.C. And I'm not particularly interested in talking about the blatant hypocrisy of the media who spent years, literally years, defending political violence, also known as terrorism, and now wanted to cry what is frankly small potatoes compared to what we saw over this summer and before. And I'm not interested in talking about the blatant hypocrisy of my fellow conservatives who are arguing that people are disenfranchised and have no remedies and that justifies violence. One, I'm not certain that they have been disenfranchised in a legal sense. Two, I'm not certain that there are no legal remedies. And I'm also not interested in talking about disparate uses of force. I know that at least one unarmed woman was gunned down by law enforcement. And while that's sad, and from all available evidence, what we know is she was attempting to illegally enter a government building and had been warned to stand down by armed men. Perhaps they even should have used less force. But since I'm not a blatant hypocrite, I'm not going to attempt to defend her, at least not based on the information that we already know, or at least that we already have been told, which is that she tried to break into the Capitol. Now, all the above topics probably do warrant discussion, but I'm not particularly interested in using my 15 minutes of airtime talking about those things. In the future, I'll probably write essays and put those on my website, lukenagy.com. Maybe, maybe not. I tend to be pretty lazy, so maybe I won't write those. But here's the thing. We should talk about the events in the Capitol, and we should talk about them in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let me say a few things off the bat. One, Donald Trump is, with almost mathematical certainty, not going to be inaugurated as president this January. Hey, anything is possible. Anything is possible. I think 2020 has taught us that. But it is an approaching zero likelihood that that is going to happen. And it's very unlikely, exceedingly unlikely, that he'll ever be inaugurated again. I know that many, and I'm using air quotes here, prophets have been prophesying his return to power. I know that a lot of my fellow conservatives are still talking 4D chess. But here's the thing. Donald Trump never played 4D chess. He never played 3D chess. Or just standard two-dimensional chess. The fact of the matter is that the man barely played checkers. In fact, President Trump, a man who I voted for and would vote for again, played political tic-tac-toe. He's not a great genius. I stand with Tolstoy in my opinion that great rulers are never great men. He's not 15 moves ahead. He's an impulsive man who does impulsive things. But generally, I tend to agree with, or at least heartily chuckle at, his impulses. But Donald Trump has a problem. He's impulsive. His impulsivity is the sword by which he lives, and it's the sword by which he dies. His inability to restrain himself and check his impulses and his lack of self-discipline have created unnecessary enemies. And that's what my hardcore Trump-loving friends and family can't seem to understand. You see, in tennis, there are forced errors and unforced errors. A forced error is where you mess up because your opponent wrong-footed you or did something sneaky or you just misread a shot. An unforced error is where you just screw the pooch. Can I say that on radio? Oh, well, I did anyways. I don't get mad at the president for trolling the media. It's unpresidential, but the media are fundamentally unserious people who take themselves seriously, and so I laugh at Trump mocking them because they are utterly and eminently worthy of mockery. That's a forced error. I call it an error because Trump trolling CNN does create enemies. He's making a choice to alienate people. But it's forced, so we can all forgive him. And even thanking him for a demonstration of what's going on, that's a forced error. That's a forced error. But Trump commits unforced errors. He spouts off when he should be silent, and he gives free rein to his impulses, and that alienated people for no reason. It's just a lost opportunity. And that's, by the way, a very depressing or encouraging way to look at life. All of life, every moment of your life is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow closer to Christ and become more like him, or to alienate yourself from Christ and become less like him. Every moment of your life, you're deciding who and what you want to be, and you're making yourself into that. Now look, I have serious questions as to whether Donald Trump is a Christian. I have serious criticisms of his handling of many events. I don't think he's a mastermind. I think he's a cunning real estate developer who said a lot of things people wanted to say but didn't have a platform for. Now, You might say, well, Lukey, if you have such strong criticisms for the man, why did you vote for him? Well, I've voted for a man I have strong criticisms for because I'm not 5 years old. And I also don't need to defend everything Trump does, did, or shall do because I'm not 5 years old. If I were a child, I could be excused for believing that supporting a politician is an all-or-nothing gambit. But I'm not a child. And likely you aren't either. And if you aren't a child, then you ought to grow up and recognize that politics is the art of the possible and no politician is perfect. They all have flaws, and they all have disqualifying flaws. For God's sake, Joe Biden has lied constantly and supports the murder of babies. If anything disqualifies him, it's that. And yet, it doesn't in the minds of most voters. My point is this, and the reason I make this point, when it isn't the main point, is because it's important to remember that politicians are, at best, imperfect vessels for the management of society. That's the best thing a politician can ever be or aspire to be, is an imperfect vessel for the management of society. To the extent they become less imperfect managers, vote for them. To the extent that they are more imperfect managers, reject them. But let's not pretend that the political caste are a cut above. Largely, they're a pack of drunken, perverse, out-of-work, power-hungry lawyers who saw a meal ticket. They aren't great talents or great intellects. In fact, to call their powers of cogitation pedestrian would be a calumny against perambulation. Or, in layman's terms, they're mediocre brains who have just enough animal cunning to convince everyone else they're brilliant. There's a word for that. Charlatans. Which is what our political class are. They're charlatans. And this is where the events in D.C. come back into the picture. Because the people who stormed the Capitol, or in less romantic terms, trespassed on government property, they recognize that the Congress and the Senate are full of charlatans. But here's the thing. So do Antifa and BLM. And I hate everything Antifa and BLM stand for. Everything. BLM and Antifa are domestic terrorist groups. And while that does not mean that everyone involved in a BLM march or an Antifa, whatever the hell it is those morons do, does not mean everyone involved is a terrorist. It does mean that they're involved in a terrorist organization. People I know and like have supported BLM. I think they're wrong. I think they're misled. I think they may be acting foolishly and even stupidly, but I don't think they're terrorists. I think they're wrong. As for those who stormed the Bastille, captured the Kremlin, invaded the Capitol, I think that their actions, from what I know, included illegally entering a government building with the intent of altering the political process through intimidation or violence. That's terrorism. Is it possible that the official record hasn't been written and we don't know all the details? Sure it is. Of course it is. I would say that's very possible, even bordering on likely. But from how it looks right now, it seems that some Trump supporters were engaged in terrorism. And I am perfectly all right with saying that people I agree with on most things are engaged in terrorism. Why? Because I'm not a hypocrite, nor am I 5 years old. I recognize that people on my side, big air quotes around side, can do bad things, and I don't need to defend them or lionize them. I can understand them. I can sympathize with them. I can agree with them on a wide range of topics, but I cannot and I will not defend their actions when they do actions that are wrong. Is what our government is doing right now by printing money we don't have, robbing people of their liberty, seeking to impose godlessness on the nation, lying to the people, and all their other despicable acts behavior I want to see end? Yes. Do I think that Congress is full of criminals who should be prosecuted? Yes. Do I think that if the great rock known as DC were flipped over, we'd see nothing but vermin and bugs scurrying into the darkness? Yes. Do I think these people deserve the judgment of God? Yes. But I also believe that that's not my place. Because I'm not God. God is God, and I'm not God. And so judging these people is not my place. We have a system. And there are legal remedies to the system. And if the legal remedies of first resort are broken, we must move to the second resort, and the third, and the fourth, and on down to the last resort. But invading the Capitol because the remedy of first resort didn't go the way you wanted is criminal and evil. Does that mean that I think Congress should never have to answer for what they do? No. I think that these people must answer for their actions. I think that the universe would be a vast farce if it were not for the justice and judgment of God. I think God will execute just judgment in the cause of all oppressed. I trust that God will make all things right. That doesn't absolve me of responsibility on earth to fight injustice, but it does limit what I can do, because God limits what I can do, and God precludes me from engaging in criminality to fight injustice. God precludes me from terrorism. God says that vengeance is his. And let's be frank, people who vote to make baby murder and child genital mutilation legal, most certainly deserve the judgment and vengeance of an angry god. Incidentally, so do vile people like me. And you. But God has commanded me not to seek to be his avenging angel, and he's also commanded me to trust him. And friends, that's where the left and the right are completely deceived. I mock, and will continue to mock, because it deserves mockery, the prayer candles people have made of Stacey Abrams, the incompetent Georgia failed politician. People call this mediocrity a goddess. I laugh at that. But I also laugh at the Donald Trump is Cyrus garbage. He's not Cyrus. He hasn't rebuilt any temples, though he has been much better for the Jews than any president in my lifetime. Trump is not God's anointed vessel for the salvation of the country. He's a very ordinary man with money who made a series of impulsive decisions and became the focal point of America's cultural, political, and social divides and impasses. He became an avatar for the disenfranchised right, and the right chose to grant him papal infallibility, which is stupid. It's stupid because he's not infallible. He's a very ordinary man in very extraordinary circumstances. But all of this evinces the greater problem, and that greater problem is that the left and the right are both seeking salvation in government. And you ain't gonna find it there. And for the godless left, this makes sense. They have no god to flee to. They have no sovereign creator of the universe. To the atheist, government is God because it's man writ large. Government to them is man writ largest. If, as idiots are wont to claim, vox populi vox dei, the voice of the people is the voice of God, then it makes perfect sense that the left treats government like God. But this makes no sense for those on the right who are Christians, or at least those on the right who claim to be Christians. If you're a Christian, you ought to know better. You ought to know that this world is not, has never been, and shall never be your friend. The best you can hope for is to hope to influence the world and make it less hellish than it otherwise could be. And that's worthy work worth doing. Don't get me wrong. But all my Christian friends, influenced by the idiotic notions of liberal postmillennialism, who've bought the lie that the church is going to sanctify the world and bring in the kingdom, have been dreadfully deceived. Too many Christians think that the American flag and the cross are synonymous. They are not. America will someday be judged by God, as will all nations, because when the stone which becomes a mountain is cast at the feet of Nebuchadnezzar's image, the whole statue comes crashing down and becomes dust. If you're a Christian and you know your Bible, which is sadly a frighteningly small portion of the church, then you ought to know that the Hallelujah Chorus of Revelation highlights the words that Handel so loved, that the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. All empires fall. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, the Holy Roman Empire, Britain, they've all fallen. America will too. Sorry to burst anyone's bubbles. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm not even sorry that I'm not sorry. I'm happy to burst your bubble. That was a lie. I'm happy to burst your bubble. America will fall. Does this mean I hate America? Of course not. I fly the flag on my front porch. I serve my country in the Air Force. I read the Constitution to my children. I love America. But I know that America will someday fall. I know that America will be, and needs to be, and must be judged for her sins. I know that someday the eagle will bow to the lamb. Right now there are cooler heads talking about how our nation needs to reconcile. Okay, I'll bite. Reconcile about what? We don't agree on anything. Half the country wants more government, and half wants less. Half want socialism, half want capitalism. Half want godly government, half want more baby murder and gender bending. Half want to put the Ten Commandments everywhere, and half want to put me in jail for hate speech. We have literally nothing in common, apart from the fact that we have organs and breathe air. And frankly, when I look at a lot of people in the media and government, I can't help but thinking that breathing air is about the only thing that their mouths are good for. If you're a Christian, you need to get off the Twitter box, stop with Facebook, and get your butt in church and worship Jesus. Not just on Sundays. Go to church midweek and pray at the altar. Kneel before the altar. Kneel and pray in church. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Wednesdays. Go often to church and pray. Pray with your pastor. Pray with other Christians. And worship. Worship Christ. You need to stop putting your hope in princes and start worshiping Jesus. Stop trusting the weak arm of the flesh and worship Jesus. What should we do in days like this? Worship the Lamb. Worship Jesus. Stop worrying about what men do. Even men that can kill the body, they can do nothing to the soul. Worship Jesus. That's what we're commanded to do, is live a life of worship. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.